Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, I am ready to start a new verse-by-verse series. We finished the book of James. We're going to start in the book of Philippians, and we're going to go through it together. I guess whenever I do these, I always start with just a little bit of history about the book. If we look at the book of Philippians, it's from the town of Philippi. It was visited by Apostle Paul, historians say 49 AD, and a body was established there. Philippi is located northeast Greece in Macedonia. And Paul is writing this letter to the saints in Philippi from the prison in Rome. Paul wrote various letters when he was a prisoner in Rome. And you can go to Acts 16, verses 1 through 40, and that speaks about Paul's activity that went on in Philippi. So that's just a short history of the backdrop of the book of Philippians. Let's move right into Philippians. We're going to do verses 1 through 5. Verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. All right, so Paul and faithful Timothy, they had a long history of doing ministry together. So Paul mentions Timothy there. He mentions servants of Christ. I like to preach about this when I street preach. Doulos. It's a slave. It's someone subject to another. And I like this definition of this servant of Christ. We're doulos. Ready? Devoted to another one to the disregard of one's own interest. Isn't that awesome? So we're devoted to Christ with a disregard of our own interest. You don't hear that much from churchianity, do you? No, they pretty much want a savior to go to heaven. They pretty much want to live their own life, and they're not all out to surrender their lives as servants. But Paul reminds us that we're servants, doulos, of Christ. I like to mention that because it's not noted very often. Again, most people want Christ as a savior, but they don't want to serve him with all of their lives. Very sad, but true saints know this, and true saints are willing to submit themselves unto Christ. Paul is greeting all the saints in Philippi, and I think this is an interesting note. A woman played a very key role in the establishment of this body. Go read Acts 16, 1 through 40, but I'm going to read 14, 15, and 40. Ready? And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abode and abide there. And she constrained us. And then verse 40, after they got out of prison, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So I always like to give those points in there about women playing key parts in the Bible. Of course, they can't be teachers of men. They can't be elders. They can't be correcting, rebuking men. They are to be silent when men are teaching. But women have a very, very important role in the scriptures. And here Lydia opened her house. I like how it says she was, whose heart was open to the Lord. I love that. And then she opened her house. So her heart was open to the Lord. Then she opened her house to them. And that apparently is where the body of Philippi gathered. Most all of the bodies, not most all of the bodies outside of the temple were gathering in house fellowships. Very important point there. And Lydia played an important role. So if you're a woman If you're a woman saint, God can use you in mighty ways. Amen. Paul mentions then also in that verse, bishops and deacons. And I always like to note this because this is a big problem in churchianity where they have one modern pastor or they have these cult of personality men that control everything. The order, the established way, and their tradition in the New Testament bodies was always multiple men in leadership. Not one modern pastor, not one guy in charge. It was always multiple men. We see that right there where he says bishops and deacons. Not one bishop, bishops, multiple. Titus 1:5, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou should set in order things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So remember that. In an established body. Now, some brand new bodies might not have any established leadership. If everyone's new, how can you have senior leadership, right? But in established bodies, after several years or years, there's going to become multiple men that are held accountable to each other and oversee the body, not to lord over it. Very important point there. I have articles on that at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. You can find those. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so Paul bids them peace. Well, actually, first he says grace, all right? That word charis, grace, divine influence on the heart, acceptable favor. Yeah, we all need the grace of God, don't we? Absolutely, I like that. It's the, you know, the grace of God gives us the ability to live the faith, walk out the faith. Without the grace of God, we're all in desperate situations. And then Paul says also peace, eirene, prosperity, tranquil rest. I like that. It's like the joy of the Holy Spirit is an inner calm and cheer. Peace, I like that. Tranquility and rest. Paul's bidding grace and peace to the brethren, and it's to the saints from the Father and from Christ. Seems like, okay, what's the point there? Like, okay, that's kind of a moot point, right? But ponder that. Peace and grace come from God. It's kind of, peace and grace are kind of like real commonly accepted ideas, and they're just, you know, kind of platitudes, things that people just say. But if you really think about that, they flow from God, and we need them to flow in us liberally in order for our faith life to work. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the grace and the truth comes by Christ. We need it. We need that. John 17 says we're sanctified by that truth. And as far as peace, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus gives us peace, grace and peace from the Father and the Son. Let's never take that for granted. And when we think about that, rely on God, rely on Christ, the Word and the Spirit for our peace and our grace. It's not something we can manufacture. It's not something we can make up, not even something we can give to each other in that same sense. We need it from the Father and from the Son. Verse 3, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. So Paul was good at this, always taking us to thankfulness to God. It's another trait that Paul is showing us that we need to have, and it's one we all should walk in more often, no doubt. Paul was good at it. We see him always being thankful and mentioning that. Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So to be thankful, all right? Thankful is a wonderful quality to have because it keeps us humble and it keeps us clinging to our Savior. If we're not thankful and we take things for granted, like grace and peace and fellowship and the gospel and the word, salvation, redemption, all these things, if we take them for granted, we're not humble. We can become complacent, prideful, lifted up, looking in the wrong places, thankful for the wrong things. So we have to be very careful that we maintain thankfulness. And then the opposite of thankfulness, Romans 1:21, that because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's talking about evil people that turn away from God, and then God turns them over, is what the Bible's talking about there. Thankfulness, what is it? Expressed gratitude. Pretty simple. Thankfulness, expressed gratitude. So whatever we have gratitude for, saints, salvation, the word, food, clothing, raiment, your job, your family, whatever, express it. All good things come from the Father, right? So we need to be expressing our gratitude, something we all should work on. And that's glorifying to God. When we go back to God and we're thankful and we have gratitude and we are, here you go, acknowledging the source. Very, very important. Acknowledging the source. You get up in the morning and you see this beautiful day and the sun and the fresh air and you go, oh, this is such a nice day. If you don't acknowledge the source, yeah, you're taking glory from God. So something that we have to work on daily. Paul didn't take the saints in his life and the things he had to be thankful over, things he had to be grateful for, he didn't take them for granted, did he? No, I don't think he did. It's pretty clear Paul was a man of thankfulness, and I think that comes from his close walk with the Lord. And he says, every remembrance. Well, that meant that he thought of them often. How endearing. Think about that. Think about that. How endearing. He's in jail, and he's thinking about these saints and his love for them and his gratitude towards them and his gratitude of the Father who ultimately gave him those saints. That's pretty humbling to think about. Paul was quite an example, and he tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, imitate him. And why was he a great example? He was imitating Christ. Go read about 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. So here he kind of, takes it up a notch, and he's telling us to pray for each other. He mentions this in other places. Paul was quite the prayer warrior. He's the one that said, pray unceasingly. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Yeah, I like that. They're in prison and they're singing and they're rejoicing. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. So Paul, unceasingly praying, just meant he prayed all the time and making mention of you. And that's a sign of his care and concern for the body and for the people that he was involved with. Praying in joy for the saints, all right, is what he talked about. Praying in joy. I like that. And again, I mentioned it. Consider this guy's in jail. His brother Paul's in jail. He's going to get his head cut off, history says. And he's praying for the saints and giving thanks for them always. Talk about not considering yourself, but considering others. This verse, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Yeah, that's what Paul was trying to do. Clearly, that's what Paul was doing, was considering others, not just himself. And that's always a good formula when you're having issues or you're feeling down about your life or you're having a bad time and trials. I have found that reaching out to, encouraging, lifting up others is some of the absolute best medicine, because it takes your mind off of your issues, your troubles, your problems, and focus it on someone else. And that could be a wonderful, wonderful way to remedy a lot of the situations in our lives. So that verse reminds me of that. Let us consider one another, provoke one another, or provoke unto love and to good works. Paul is showing us the good works that we should be focusing in here in the book of Philippians. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day to now. So Paul's telling us what he's thankful about, their fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship, that famous word, koinonia. Partnership, that is participation, intercourse, not sexual, of course. Benefaction, communication, communion, distribution, fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, to share with one in participation, fellowship, intimacy, emotional intimacy. The right hand is a sign of pledge and fellowship. So Paul is saying he's thankful for their fellowship in the gospel. And we could tell from Paul's words here, these are faithful saints in Philippi. Why do we know that? From the first day till now. I don't know how many years it was after that body was formed from Acts 16 until now, but it was many years, multiple years. They were faithful all along. Isn't that awesome? And that is really rare today to see. We know a small handful of true saints that have been faithful for years. Very, very rare. Most people come, most people go, most people fall back from their commitment. And that's quite rare. Now, we're in the falling away today, so it might have been more common back then. People were risking their lives for Christ. And so, a little bit different situation than it is here in America and in most places today. But it's a consistency that we're seeing here in that body that Paul seems to be praising and he's thankful for. Imagine you're Paul working with all these various bodies and some have all kinds of troubles like Corinth, and maybe you get to someone like Philippi and maybe they didn't have those problems and they were consistent. Pretty easy to be thankful and grateful for people like that, huh? Absolutely. The word diligent comes to mind. 2 Corinthians 8:22. And we have sent with them our brother, whom ye have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. So diligent is a good word that we all should strive to emulate, model. The Philippi people, body, saints, were clearly diligent in their faithfulness. Paul's praising them many years afterwards as he's in prison. And so these are just all these first five verses. These are just giving us kind of a framework for how we should carry ourselves. Be thankful, be praying, be lifting up other saints that are diligent that we know, and being consistent in these things and not focusing on our own issues. Always looking towards the things of the Lord and the people of God. Isn't that beautiful? It is. And the book of Philippians is kind of like a love letter, Paul writing to all the other believers. And we're going to get into that more next time. We're going to stop right there. We'll pick it up at verse 6 next time. Looking forward to doing this journey with you through the book of Philippians. Go to don'tperish.com. Click on the verse-by-verse tab. You can catch up on all the other verse-by-verse studies. And then all the thousands of articles, audios, videos, sisters, blogs. Loving God, loving our neighbor. We're thankful for all you diligent saints out there that we know, the small handful that we know that are true, holy, set apart, consistent, diligent saints. And we pray for you. I know you pray for us. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, the Lord lets me come and bring more truth to you. Go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.